Hello, Line Cook Nation. This is Ray DeLucci with the Line Cook Thoughts Podcast. Hope everyone is doing well. Welcome back to another week of the show. Very excited for my guest today. Before we get into that, I just want to remind you all that myself and members of the Line Cook Nation community are going to be running 40 miles in October. Why are we running 40 miles? We're raising funds and awareness for World Central Kitchen, and we're honoring the 40 million meals they served for COVID relief. So if you'd like to join the team, please send me a DM on Instagram at Line Cook Thoughts. Send me an email, linecookthoughts@outlook.com. And I want to just get a really solid team together to run these miles. We're going to be tracking through the Nike Run Club. And it's just going to be a great effort to raise funds and awareness for WCK. So if that organization means something to you and you like running, please reach out to me. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, if you're listening on Apple, please leave a review. It doesn't need to be a five-star review, just an honest review of the show. I love hearing your thoughts. And it just is a really, it's really important for me to get feedback on the work I do. So if you could leave a review, that would be great. Lastly, if you have not checked out our blog, go to linecookthoughts.com. We have a lot of interesting blogs coming up. We have so many great interviews and written blogs on that site as well. So go check that out. It's linecookthoughts.com. And for my guest today, her name is Hanalei Souza, aka at Lady Linecook. She is the face behind the memes and silly videos that give a glimpse into kitchen life. She's also the author of the memoir, Nice Work Boys, which is about her time working and leading in male-dominated workplaces. I really enjoyed having her on today for a couple of reasons. First off, we talk about so much related to her content. We talk about her time, you know, getting not just like into food, but just into workspaces that are often male dominated. And she shares kind of her experiences in that. Then we talk about how she created at Lady Line Cook, how she creates her memes, how she creates the content she puts out. And then she gives us a really deep dive into how she wrote her book and self-published her book. And I'm actually putting a link in the description for you if you'd like to purchase the book. Like I said, she did self-publish, so the best way to purchase this book is through her website at ladylinecook.com. So feel free to use that link that I'm going to be putting in the description. But so much we talk about in this podcast, whether it's related to her content, whether it's related to like the male-dominated industry that she has, you know, that so many work in, and kind of how she's able to make content that relates to females in the kitchen. And I just really admire her work. I admire the stuff she puts out. When she puts out content, it's so relatable for everyone. It really, I mean, yes, obviously she makes content for females in the kitchen, but she puts out a lot of cooking content too that I'm just like, yeah, like that makes, like I can tell she works in the kitchen. Just so many witty reels, and then just so many just great messages she puts out on her page. So really give her a follow at Lady Line Cook on Instagram if you have not followed her. I really think that if you are in the kitchen, you need to be seeing what she puts out because it's so good and I just really enjoy it. But yeah, no, besides that, I just want to say one quick note. Due to the Wi-Fi issues last week with all of like the weather and whatnot, my Wi-Fi was actually acting up. And so the first 10 minutes we have, the audio is just odd. It just sounds like muffled. We had a very poor Wi-Fi connection that ended up like dropping our call. And so once I was able to figure out the Wi-Fi, we got back to it and the audio is very crisp, very clean. But the first 10 minutes do sound kind of different than the rest of the podcast. So just giving you a fair warning, we weren't really able to avoid it due to all the Wi-Fi issues across the country last week. I know my whole like Wi-Fi system here was acting up every day. So just first 10 minutes, a little bit of an audio, poorer audio quality than the rest of the interview, but so much value in what she says. I hope you all listen to it and enjoy it. And yeah, just thank you so much for coming on the show, Hanalei, and just ready to go. So everyone, thank you so much. And here we go.
Just make sure we're all good on this end. Awesome. Welcome to the podcast. If you just want to introduce yourself, that'd be great.
Hi, my name is Hanalei Souza. You can find me on Instagram at Lady Line Cook. I make those TikToks, as people call them, even though they're not TikToks. I've been in the restaurant industry for 3 years. I started out as a line cook. Now I'm like a kitchen lead, unofficial sous chef. And I've also recently written a memoir about working in the kitchen. So.
Awesome. Very excited to chat about it. Are you on TikTok or is it just Instagram?
No, I'm not on TikTok. Like, I feel like I could join it just to post exactly the same videos, but I definitely, it's hard enough running one social media page that's really active and it takes so much time. It's like, it would be so hard to have to. I couldn't even imagine because I'm still working 60 hours a week as a cook. It's like, I can't, I don't know if I should delve into another social media platform. So I'll just focus on one right now.
Totally fair. So, you know, talking about your career and kind of you getting into food, like what made you become a cook? Why did you start cooking?
So I've been cooking pretty much since I was a kid. Like, my dad cooked a lot. My mom cooked sometimes. And, like, we were always cooking at home. We didn't really go out much just because my parents kind of... Cooking wasn't this, like, big, mysterious chore. It was just something that they did every day. And so I started cooking. For some reason, when I was 12, I just, like, cooked dinner for the family. And then between when I was 12 and when I moved out at 18, like, I cooked every single day for my family. Like, it just kind of happened, and I liked it a lot. But then I chose to go to school for business, specifically for ski resort management. But I still like a business degree. So I didn't see myself cooking as a career. I just thought it was, like, a hobby, something that I enjoyed, and I thought that if I did it professionally, I might not like it as much. So I, like, put off cooking for a bit. I didn't want to cook professionally. And so I went through, got my business degree. In college, I worked, like, tried to do, like, ski industry type jobs. And then I did work in the ski industry for 2 winters in mountain ops. So that was fun. I actually did like that field. Like, if I hadn't needed a summer job. So basically I worked my first season at the ski resort, and then I needed a summer job to, like, tide me over. So I was like, I'll just try a restaurant job. Like, why not? And I really liked it. This was at my first restaurant, but then I decided I'd go back for another winter in the ski industry in mountain ops. I was, like, building terrain parks. It was actually, it was a pretty cool job. Like, I wanted to go down that path for a while. Yeah. And then, so then at the end of that second season, I was like, okay, this is the summer I decide if I want to cook for a living. Like, I picked the busiest restaurant in my town, the biggest. I was like, I just need to get my ass handed to me every day. And then at the end of the summer, I need to decide if I even want to do this. So I, like, switched restaurants from the smaller one to the bigger, busy one. And I just loved it. Like, I got my butt kicked every day. I learned how to grill. I learned how to saute. I learned to work every station in only a couple months. And at the end of that summer, I had to tell the ski resort that I wasn't coming back and that's actually the same restaurant that I still work at now. So that was 2 years ago.
Nice. No, that sounds cool. Yeah. Before we get into cooking, you know, I know a passion of yours is snowboarding. You shared that on your Instagram recently. What about, like, the ski resort? What about snowboarding? Do you, you know, enjoy? Why does it call out to you?
Yeah. So I skied as a kid for, like, family vacation. So I grew up maybe, like, 4 or 5 hours drive away from a skiing area, and then so actually when I moved to college, I moved to that area where I skied all the time. And I still live there now. So where was I? So yeah, I skied as a kid, and it was like a vacation thing, so it was like once or twice a year. And then when I was 13, I just decided that I would switch to snowboarding just because, like, that's what the cool kids did. And I was 13 and I, like, wanted to just fit in and be cool. So
yeah,
I, like, decided to switch over. And for some reason, like, even though it was still sliding on snow, like, I just absolutely loved it. And, like, I, on my first day snowboarding, I, like, made the decision that I was gonna snowboard one day. I was gonna move somewhere where I could snowboard every day. And so from, like, 13 to 18, when I moved out, we would go, like, every weekend, because my parents skied too. So it's like this whole family thing. Like, they would ski, we would snowboard, we would, like, come up. Like, we didn't even have a cabin sometimes. We would, like, drive up and then drive down on the same day just to ski. Like,
yeah.
Like, we, as a family, but also, like, me too, we just loved skiing and snowboarding. And we went, yeah, it was, like, every weekend. And then when it was time for me to go to college, I, like, purposely picked a college that was in the snow. And I moved, then I moved up to where I am now. And then obviously worked in the ski industry for a few years. And now I actually work nights at my restaurant job, so I could snowboard, like, during the day. So it's pretty cool. It's cool having that. And, like, as a teenager, I feel like that was my driving force. Like, for me, like, picking a college or picking where I was going to live or picking the work field I wanted to go into was, like, kind of guided by that.
Okay.
It was cool having, instead of just, like, being kind of overwhelmed by so many choices, so many colleges and so many different states, I was kind of like, well, these three are close to ski resorts. So I, like, narrowed it down a lot. So.
No, that's good. Is there other people you look up to that are, like, professional, like, skiers or snowboarders?
Yeah. So there was one, that I really looked up to, she was British. Her name was Jenny Jones. When I was a teenager, I like really followed the pro snowboarding scene a lot more. Now I kind of like follow it from the sidelines, not as much, but there was this lady named Jenny Jones and she was older. She was like 37 or something, but she was in the Olympics. And I like read into her story and she like only started snowboarding at 19 or something. And then it was just a cool story because you hear so many stories of these kids. And it could be anything. If it's not snowboarding or a sport or even like cooking or a career, it's like people who start when they're a kid and then like they're just gifted and they just like they're just a prodigy. And I felt like those stories were never that inspiring because it's like I started snowboarding like late at 13, but then I was like 18 before I actually moved into the snow. So it's like to me that story was pretty inspirational because like it shows that it doesn't matter when you start, like if you have the passion and you have the drive, like you can make what you want of it. And then I think she got a bronze medal in the Olympics or something. So that was pretty cool.
No, that is really cool. I mean, I think that's, you know, kind of tying into like starting late, a big reason why a lot of people like Bourdain is because he started his like, what, you know, his main career, like of writing and travel and whatnot, like when he was in his 40s, you know, and those like the stories like that that are like really cool. Like Brene Brown, she started her career as some would consider late. So I think, you know, stuff like that is really inspiring.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, going back to cooking and kind of what you work on, why did you start Lady Line Cook? When was this first started?
It was like during the first shutdown. So it was like May of 2020. There was this Facebook group of Lady Line Cooks. So like at first, because in most of the kitchens that most women work in, we're like the only one. Like I was the only woman at my first kitchen. I was like one of two women in my current kitchen. So you think you're alone, but if you think about it, if there's like one woman in each kitchen across the country, that's like a lot of us. And so someone started this group on Facebook, which is for all the Lady Line Cooks. And somehow like people were finding it and it was growing and there were a couple thousand members. And so I was like, man, I wish we had this kind of like a page on Instagram or like a community. And also like, I've always been a fiend for memes, like about working in the kitchen. Like I was always looking for the best meme page. I came across For the Chefs. I came across your page. I came across like a couple other accounts that made like just relatable content, like funny content for cooks and chefs, just so we could be like, oh, like you too, like you also forget why you went into the walk-in. Like I thought it was just me. It's like, so we kind of connecting over that kind of stuff. So, and then I thought, I was like, well, why don't I just start one and see where it goes, but I'll make it like, I'll see if I can get all the women line cooks and then make, you know, content for cooks, but also some of my content is like for women line cooks. So it's like, I started that, made like a couple memes. I stayed anonymous for the first like 8 months that I had that account. I just posted memes. I didn't show my face. I didn't do any of that because I was like, I don't know, I'm just a meme page. I'm not. And then in like December, I wanted to announce my book. And so I was like, okay, it's about time I like tell them who I am. And then just being able to relate to Instagram accounts and seeing like a person behind it, I've always thought that was pretty cool. So I was like, okay, like I can start building this like personal brand of Lady Line Cook. And like, it's me, I'm Lady Line Cook. So I made like a face reveal post and then from there, it's just, and then for a while, like I knew reels were a thing, but I like didn't like seeing my face on camera, didn't like hearing my voice, didn't like, I was just camera shy, didn't like, you know, didn't like filters, didn't like any of that stuff. So I was like, man, I didn't want to make reels. Like for a while, I was like, man, I know I have to because that's the direction Instagram's going. And so for a while I would like open up the app, I'd like see my face on the camera and then I would close it. I'd be like, I can't do this. And then in like May of this year, I think I was finally like, let's just do one. And, you know, I'll put a silly goofy filter on it so it doesn't feel like it's me. And so I made my first reel with the one where it's like the pizza box. So I like hide my face in the pizza box. And then I like, and then it's like the, you want me? And it's like, so that was my very first reel. And then from there, I just got more comfortable with it. And you just watch other people's to kind of catch on to like the things that they're doing, get ideas, and then who we are now. Yeah.
And, you know, I think one of the cool creative pieces of content that I really like from your page is, like, the idea of someone coming in the restaurant and asking you for the chef while you are the chef. And you're kind of like, that's been like a theme on your page. When did you start, like, what made you want to go into like that content? Has that happened to you a lot? Or kind of what was the inspiration behind that particular?
Yeah, I mean, well, like, kind of from my experience, but I didn't get it that much, but it was also from like other women, because I was still in that Lady Line Cooks Facebook group. And then sometimes I put out these like question stickers on Instagram too. So I got a lot of stories from other women too. So sometimes I'll create content, like maybe that's not necessarily something that I went through, but like something that was inspired by like what someone else told me. Like, for example, I made this video that was like things people have said to female cooks and chefs. And it was like a bunch of like sexist stuff and like stuff that I never heard said to me, but like literally quotes that I collected from other women on Instagram and saying like, hey, people still say this kind of stuff, like, oh, you should be pregnant and barefoot and at home and not in a restaurant kitchen. And like people in 2021, like people are saying that. Wow. So it's interesting. And then a couple videos were inspired from my own work experience. Like, for example, like the one where it's like, why are you looking at him? Don't look at him. Look at me. Like, he's not going to help you. It's like, it was literally, we train our front of house for like one shift in the kitchen. So there was this guy who was literally hired that same day as a bartender, and he was working his shift in the kitchen, and he was like this white dude. And like, the delivery guy comes in and like goes right up to him and asks him to sign. And the guy's just like, he's like clueless. He's like, I have no idea what's going on. And then I step in, I'm like, hey, like I placed those orders. Like, let me sign. Like, it was just one of those hilarious moments where it's like, oh man, I could def. And then I made that reel like soon after that. But so it's a little bit of my own experience, and then a little bit of like collecting stuff from other women, whether it's from the Facebook group. Like sometimes someone will just go on and post like, oh man, the craziest thing happened to me today. I was like walking through the restaurant and someone asked me to pour them a drink, and I said I couldn't pour them a drink because I'm the chef, or something, like just stuff like that. So partly from other people and then partly from my own. For me, it's more like I'll just mention like, oh, I work at such and such restaurant. People are like, oh, like I bet you make great tips as a server. I'm like, wait a second, I don't work as a server. Let me backtrack and like clarify a little bit what I do. But
yeah. No, that's I mean, have you, you know, obviously like the industry has had this whole like last like 5 to 10 years of reshaping kind of the norm of how things are run, whether it's like abuse in the kitchen, harassment, or even like just like, you know, who we expect people to be in terms of like leadership positions. Have you seen over the last few years like a big change, or do you, like, as you progress in your career, obviously as a female in the kitchen, how has it been the last few years in regards to like you leading, or maybe like how the industry is evolving? Is it evolving, or is it kind of just been the same?
Yeah, I mean, I've only been in the industry for 3 years, but obviously I've read like Kitchen Confidential, and like I've read other people's kind of more like old school, like how it used to be, I guess. And I think we're moving in a good direction. Like personally, I don't know if it's just restaurant by restaurant, because I know those like toxic chefs or whatever they're called, like they still exist. Like there's plenty of people who still like throw pots and pans and yell and try to like belittle their cooks to like make them go faster. But I think as an industry, like people are getting smarter and they're learning to like not tolerate that. Like if that happened to me, like I would quit and I would find another job where they don't do that. And I feel like a lot of people would have the same viewpoint. Like I feel like back then it was more like, this is what it's like to work in a kitchen, like deal with it. But I think, and like some people are like old school and they're like, oh, this new generation, they're so soft, they can't tolerate. It's like, no, we just have self-respect. Like we're not going to come into work every day and get screamed at and get pots and pans thrown at us. Like that's not, like we're humans, we're not just machines or objects. Like I feel like it's moving in the right direction. Like the restaurant where I'm currently at, like it's, if someone were to like scream during dinner service and like scream at a server because they rang something in wrong, like that would be so like out of the norm and be like, hey, what's wrong with you? Like, why did you, you know, yeah. Like it would be completely out of the norm. And honestly, like, so we're fully staffed right now. And in my area, there's a horrible staffing shortage. Like almost every restaurant except us is like closed a couple days a week because they don't have staff. They're closing early because they don't have staff. They're limiting capacity. Everyone is hiring everywhere. But our restaurant, like people are coming from other restaurants to work for us. Like and we've been fully staffed this whole time. And people and other restaurants are kind of like, how do you do it? Like, and like a couple of our front of house people have said, like, your guys' kitchen, like, we get along. Like, you guys aren't like toxic. You guys seem like a little more harmonious and with a better relationship with front of house. So I think like people are catching on and like they're realizing like, hey, if you don't like the work environment that you're in, like go work for another restaurant. So I think that kind of builds an incentive for leadership and for restaurants to cultivate that kind of environment instead of just being like, well, this is how it is. If you want to work in a kitchen or if you want to work in a restaurant, you just have to put up with it. Like, we don't have to anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. You know, the idea of someone throwing a pan or like getting angry. I mean, I know it still exists in the industry in some parts, but just like, you know, in talking to cooks through the pandemic, you know, we've seen the labor shortage. We've seen restaurants, you know, it's very difficult to hire people. And sometimes it might not even be like a restaurant might be like struggling to staff right now. And it might not even be on them. It's just so many people feel burnt out from other work experiences or like, you know what I mean? It's like, so, I mean,
they just leave the industry. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they leave the industry. It's tough. I mean, I totally get it. Before the pandemic, I was managing for restaurants and I was working 60, 70 hour weeks. And
yeah,
you know, obviously like for me, like just what I wanted to do with my life, like that didn't line up anymore. And like, I wanted to get somewhere to where I was working like 45, 50 hours and, you know, have time off to do line cook thoughts and, you know, just other things that I want to do in my world. So I mean, I totally get it and empathize with that. But I think it's important, you know, that you like share stuff like that because, you know, like you said, there's like this idea that this next generation of cooks is like soft or weak or not going to be able to handle it. But it's like, it takes a lot of strength to, you know, challenge the norm and kind of question why we do the things we do. And I think that it's actually been a really cool experience to see it all come together. But do you have a lot of people reach out to you? Like when you put up a piece of content, I'm sure, you know, a good amount of people probably can relate. Do you have people reaching out to you, like sharing their own stories or like, saying, hey, I got, yeah.
Yeah, all the time, especially other women being like, oh my gosh, like to be another woman in this world. And like, again, like I said, a lot of these women are like the only woman in their kitchen and they feel like they're the only woman in any kitchen ever because, you know, you don't see anyone else. But then just to be connected with a community online of like seeing that there are other women cooks who are leading, who are working every station, who are like, you know, they don't see that, but then to actually like see an account that where they can like relate, not just on being a cook, but like being a woman in this field. It's like, I get like tons of messages all the time of like people telling their stories. Like sometimes people will just like slide into my DMs with like their whole life story about how they started cooking and like burnt out, but then I found your page and it brought back all these memories and like just all kinds of people from people who are new. Sometimes I'll kind of open up a bit about like my struggles with certain things and like people will be like, oh my gosh, we have the same story. Like there's so many people who are young, who are leaders, who have had to like kind of lead and deal with like imposter syndrome and burnout and like all this stuff that I sometimes talk about on the page. And people, because I try to keep it like funny, but like sometimes I'll like go deeper and talk about some of these other issues. So
yeah, no, I think it's really cool. I think you have a really cool community and obviously Paige, so it's cool to see. You know, the other reason I wanted to have you on is you're also an author. You have a book that's been published. So if you wanted to share just kind of what that process was like, you know, obviously first off, if you want to share what the book's about, I think that'd be
a good point. The book is a memoir. I always say it was like inspired by Kitchen Confidential. So it was like, just when I read that book, I was like, oh man, like I could write about what it's like to work in a kitchen. Like it kind of gave me like permission to like, yeah, people want to read about what it's like to work in a restaurant. And I've been writing for a while. I started my blog when I was 18. It was under a different name. It was actually under Writer, because I was like, I wrote about snowboarding a bit, like, because like that was like my main passion and life goal when I started the blog when I was 18. Like, so I wrote about snowboarding. I just wrote about like life and just wrote these like short pieces. And then I started writing about what it was like to work in a kitchen. Then I like rebranded it to ladylinecook.com. So that's still my blog right now, where I just write about, I don't write that much in the blog just because I've been so focused on the book recently. But I would just have like a random moment, again, with like the random inspiration. Like I kind of don't really write on a schedule. I just kind of like, I'll get these random bursts where I'll like I remember my first restaurant job. I just wrote a short blog post about like, hey, this is what it's like to work at a restaurant. And actually a lot of those ended up becoming inspiration for like certain chapters of the book. Like, I know there's a scene there where it's like my first time in the weeds, and I wrote that out as a scene, as like a blog post. And then I actually took that and it went straight into my book. So that was cool seeing, cause it's a memoir. So it's about the title is Nice Work Boys, because that's something that's always been said to me while I was at work at, in the ski industry and in restaurant kitchens. So those are kind of like the two fields that it focuses on. And it's really just about like, it's a lot about leadership. The subtitle is Gaining Confidence and Learning to Lead One Job at a Time, because a lot of these leadership situations, I was just kind of thrown in and I was expected to like just figure it out on the fly. And I've had a lot of good leaders and good mentors through my journey who have coached me along that and like given me the space to do that. And then another aspect of the book, you know, like I said, the title is Nice Work Boys. I'm often the only woman in those workplaces, like no matter which workplace I'm in, those are just the fields that I've wanted to work in. And actually I remember when that title first came to me, like I was working in the ski industry. I was one woman out of 30 men in my department, and I'd been promoted to a supervisor in that department. And that's when the idea for the book first came to me. That was about 2 years ago. I was working and this guy yelled from the chairlift. He's like, "Nice work, boys." And I thought in my head, like, oh man, if my life were a book, like that would be the title. And then I kind of like developed that idea. I was like, I feel like I want to write about this winter season that I had where I was one woman out of 30 men and I got promoted to be supervisor. And it was my first leadership experience ever. Like that was the first time I've ever had to lead. And these were all like, they were all older than me. I was 21 and I had to like lead this department. And it was just like, and I got like bullied by this one guy. I got harassed. I got injured a bunch of times. Like it was just not, it was like not like a good win. I learned a lot though. It was like, it was an interesting point in time in my life. So I was like writing about it kind of like, I wasn't publishing anything. I was like writing about it in this random Word document. I didn't really know where I'd go with it. Like I just started writing about it. I tried to be really intentional with like journaling and like writing specific stories that happened, specific people, specific, like just, I wanted to get more specific with like stories and not just write this like broad general thing, but I still didn't know what I would do with it. Like I was like, maybe I'll write a blog post or like something. I just wanted to capture that experience in writing. And then that following summer is when I started at that super busy restaurant. And then I started writing about that too. Like literally I would like come home after a Saturday night service at 2 a.m. and like just write about how crazy it was and like just what it was like. And I just wanted to bring the reader in. And these were all like super rough drafts. Like I would just write like random stories. Like there was this one day where it was like I got my ass kicked so hard on a Friday night. I just went home and I started writing. I was like, I got my ass kicked so hard. And I was like, I just wanted to disappear. And like, and then that whole thing like ended up in the book, which was pretty cool. But like, again, with a random inspiration, it's like coming home and like jotting down a couple lines, bullet points, whatever. And then it was like about a year ago, it was in October of last year. I was like, man, I feel like there's been enough of a theme like throughout my life in the last couple of years where like maybe I could turn this into a book. I was like, I don't know how long it'll be. Maybe I'll write it all down and it'll be too short. And it I can't make it a book and we'll see. So I just sat down and I just started writing my first draft. And a lot of it I was like writing straight from my journal, copy and pasting stuff from those random Word documents and like just stringing it together in story of basically like from going all the way from my ski industry time to like my first restaurant and then to my current job. And then just that leadership journey of like going from nothing, getting my first leadership experience, then like starting again in the kitchen and then working my way up to like being in a leadership position again in a similar type of environment. And yeah. So kind of drawing those parallels. So, and then I finished my first draft and I looked up like, oh, what's a good number of words for a book? And I was like, oh man, like I have a book here. So it's kind of, even when I first started writing it, I didn't even call it a book. I was like, yeah, I'm just writing a thing. Like, I don't really know where it's going to go. And so then I finished the first draft and I was like, this is long enough. Like we got a book. So, before I started this, I like didn't know self-publishing was a thing. Like I thought you would have to go through like publishers and you'd have to get accepted. You have to get an agent. You'd have to give them half your proceeds. Like, and yeah. I was like, that takes years and years and years. And then I had a coworker who self-published a book. And so I was like, oh man, like, how do you do that? And so I kind of looked up and I realized that, yeah, anyone could publish a book. Like, it doesn't even have to be a certain length. Like,
how long was the process to like self-publish your own book?
I started in October, finished the first draft in like 3 weeks and then edited it for like 7 months. I didn't realize the editing would take that long. I thought my first draft was pretty good, but then I hired an editor who like ripped it apart. I like rewrote it literally, like, and a lot of writers, they call the second draft the rewrite. And now I like totally understand it. Like the first draft is you telling yourself the story. And then the second draft is like where it really actually starts to shape up. So I basically like ripped it apart. I rewrote it. It took me like 7 months to rewrite it and like get it good. And then basically throughout the whole time, I was also researching like how I was going to publish. There was a company that like you can submit your book and it distributes it. So you can print your book from the company, but you can also like distribute it. So it gets it on Amazon and it gets it on Barnes & Noble. And you get like a ISBN, which is like it's a standardized book number. So yeah. That like basically someone can search your book anywhere on Google, on whatever online bookstore, and like they'll find it. So I'm like, you get one of those numbers and then like you publish it through a distribution company. And ideally you shouldn't be paying any money up front. Like there are a lot of scam companies that like make you pay to publish your own book, but really like your only expense should be like your editor and your cover design or anything that you choose. And then a lot of these companies, they just take a small cut out of each book.
Like, yeah, almost like a drop shipping concept of you don't really need a lot of stuff up front. You have your design, you make the product, yeah. And then they'll take a certain percentage from it. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you don't pay anything up front. And I think it could technically be free if you don't pay for an editor. Like if you really have no budget and you got like your friend to edit it, like I'm serious when I say like anyone can publish a book. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm not that every book sells or makes a profit, but like, if you have an idea and you want to just start, like, my advice would be just like, do it and figure it out along the way. Like, I definitely did that. I'm still figuring it out. Like, even now, I'm in kind of like the marketing phase and like learning how to, like, I think like one mistake that I made was the distribution company that I used. They don't really work with wholesalers, so they actually didn't have a wholesale price for my book, and I couldn't change that. And so now like I was reaching out to all these bookstores and they were like, oh, you don't have a wholesale price for us. And I was like, oh, like, sorry about that. So it's kind of like learning on the fly. Like, yeah. So like now, like I made that mistake. And now like a lot of bookstores have told me that they like won't take my book because of that. It's kind of like a distributor thing, but it's like, okay, well, I know for the next book, maybe I'll use a different distribution company, or I'll make sure that I make that clear or something. So it's like, yeah. Learning it on the fly, but yeah.
Okay. And I'll be sure to put a link to your book. Anyone listening on the podcast or watching on YouTube, I'll make sure to put a link in the description or, you know, the notes. You said it's through Amazon. Is that like the preferred place to go? Is there a link on your website or?
It's best to get it from ladylinecook.com. Amazon takes like, a lot of money. Like if you're
ladylinecook.com, right?
Yeah, like what you don't realize is when you buy a book from Amazon, the author makes like cents.
Okay.
Like, Amazon, yeah, it's kind of a rant on Amazon, but if you ever want to buy a book in general from an author and you know that the author has like a website for themselves or an author website, it's best to buy it like directly, because like otherwise these third-party companies take like most of the money.
All right, well, ladylinecook.com. Yeah. Like I said, I'll put links in the descriptions. Yeah. But you know, thanks for sharing that process. So I mean, yeah, you obviously you have the book, you're creating a lot of content on Instagram, it's obviously getting a lot of traction, you're relating to people. What are some like future plans of yours for the brand, like over the next few years? Like, where would you like to see it go?
Definitely continue writing. I haven't started a second book, but I know this is just my first book out of many, hopefully. Like, I definitely plan on writing more. I definitely plan on doing more of these lives. I did my first live last week, and that was a lot of fun. And I just want to continue connecting in, like, a personable way, like, being able to, like, do these, like, talks or, you know, and, like, keep doing the silly fun stuff, but also do the more, like, I do want to do more podcasts, like not my own, but other people's podcasts. And
yeah,
it would be cool. Like, I've been wanting to do like an author event at like local bookstores and stuff and do more talks. Like, I definitely want to break into that. And I, yeah, definitely just keep writing, keep using ladylinecook.com as like a kitchen life blog. Like, I haven't really used it that much, just because I've been writing my book for the last like year. So it's like,
yeah,
that's where all my writing capacity has gone. But I feel like now that that's kind of not behind me because I'm still marketing it, but I have maybe a little more capacity to actually write other things that aren't books. So definitely continuing the writing, continuing the videos, continuing the lives, and just continuing to stay connected and personal. Like, I try to get back to every DM, like, not even about like a whole with my audience, not even to get likes or shares or followers, but it's more like be a person behind the page and connect with other people who have a similar story or can relate to certain things, and hopefully maybe like offer some advice, even though I'm like super new to it too. And
yeah,
I'm just also trying to figure stuff out as I go, but just kind of trying to encourage that aspect of like a lot of us are just out there still feeling like an imposter, still dealing with all this stuff, but like still getting on with it.
Still pushing through. I mean, I've created a lot of content around that too. So
yeah, nope. I kind of want to show them my setup one day. I have this like ticket rail in my kitchen. Like, there are these two like lights that I'm in. Maybe I'll make a video about this, like exposing it. There are these two like hanging lights that come down in my kitchen, and then I hang this like wooden rail. And then I save all my like receipts, and I tape the receipts onto it. And like, that's my famous ticket rail that you see in all my videos, but maybe that's another video for another day.
Yeah, no,
but it's just
cool.
Kind of funny. It's like, everything is so like janky, and you know, I have like an older iPhone and I film on that. It's like kind of, I just want to encourage people. Like, if you have ideas and you have content and you want to like make a funny tweet and screenshot the tweet, like do it. Like,
yeah,
make your platform. And I know you talk a lot about this too, like build your brand, like make your platform what you want it to be, like just get out there and do it. So yeah, that would, yeah, definitely like use what you have. Don't feel like you need to, like, everyone starts with zero followers. Like, I remember starting Lady Line Cook and I was like, man, like I have one follower, it was my personal account. I was like, how am I even gonna do this? And you know, that was like a year ago. So it's like everyone starts at zero and you just got to make what you can of it.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, even now, like I'm about to launch merchandise, which I've done a little bit in the past, but it was more so like me doing it all, but like just like learning how to like just do this with like a company that's going to be sustainable in terms of like the work production. So doing that,
yeah.
I mean, this microphone is like my sister's fiance's that he just wasn't using anymore. Like, you know, there's not a lot that goes, like I record off my laptop. So like, you know, there's definitely like ways to make content in which you don't need a lot of like upfront costs. So I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, for sure. I know I'm trying to do merch as well. I launched it but then I kind of like, and I have people who have already like paid for merch, but it's just taking a little longer than I thought. But it's like, it's part of the learning. It's like, you know, obviously I'm going to be done, be getting these, this stuff shipped out soon, but it's kind of like, I'm just figuring it out on the fly. Yeah. So it's definitely an experience, especially when there's other people who trust you and buy from you. And then you're like, okay, so like now I actually do have a responsibility to like follow through with this. So.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, I totally get it. So, you know, so I guess one of the last questions is like, I like to talk a lot about like leadership in the industry. Obviously you like to talk about that. Who are some leaders? It doesn't have to be like a chef, but just who are some people you look up to as like examples or like people that really inspire you within food?
Definitely my current executive chef. And just like a lot of the bosses I've had at my past jobs, like even the one in the ski industry, like they've always been super supportive. Like they've always kind of like taken me under their wing, and like I could see them like purposely trying to build me up as like, as a leader, as like the next. And like often it wouldn't even be in this kind of like formal way. It would just be like, you know, they'll tell me like, oh, you know, it took me 20 years to learn this, but I'm just going to tell you this right now. Like it's like they genuinely care, like especially my current executive chef, like he's just trying to pass everything on to me. And it's like some days it feels like it's like too much, too fast. And like I feel like I'm like failing and drowning and just like I can't do. And he's like, and he'll tell me like, this took me 20 years to learn. Like, like, but it's good that like, you know, that people don't want to just let their egos like hog all the power and every, like they're actively looking to pass it on to someone. So like, I always appreciate a leader that wants to take someone under their wing and like build them up and mentor them and hopefully teach themselves out of a job. Like that's, you know, like to see a leader who's not afraid to teach someone out of, teach themselves out of a job. Like, I feel like a lot of people want to kind of like stay at the top and like guard their like secret, like, no, I'm the only one who can do this. Like, I'm the only one who places orders. I'm the only one who can saute. It's like, but then that's how you create a job where you can like never take vacation. And like, you know, you need to be able to have people who can do your job so that you're not, like, you know, like a lot of people want to feel irreplaceable, but you kind of have to take a step back. And like, I've realized this too, because for a while I was like, yeah, I'm the only one who does this station. I'm the only one who grills the steaks, right? I'm the only one. And then you realize, then you try to ask for a Saturday off for your friend's wedding. And they're like, no, you can't. You're the only one who works the station. I was like, no. And that's kind of, you know, that's why you need to be able to train those people up.
Very well said. I definitely think that should be a big content piece for you, because that's definitely not something you talked about. That made me go, that like unlocked something for me. I was like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Like everyone wants to be like that chef that everyone can rely on, obviously, but we all want to be, I feel like we all have the drive to be the best, but if you're irreplaceable, then you're right. There is no like really work-life balance for you, because if you're irreplaceable, then like, you're going to be that person. So that was really cool.
And then it also, you're also empowering someone else. Mm-hmm. To step into, like, you know, I start a job and like I usually like want to progress and like want to start leading, like, and I feel like my first restaurant job, I could have stayed there, but it was like there was just no, the only way up was out, and that's why I quit that job and moved restaurants. It's like, people are losing employees because they want growth, they want leadership, but they're like not getting it. So I feel like it's also good for the sustainability. Like overall, you're going to get people who stay because they feel like there's opportunity for them.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, thank you for sharing all that. And just thanks, you know, for sharing kind of your whole process. I've, you know, enjoyed talking about, you know, learning more about your page, about you, about the book. I like to, well, first off, before we kind of end the show, where can people find you? Obviously on Instagram, but if you just wanted to share kind of all the, you know, where people can find you, anything you want them to check out.
So it would be, so the Instagram is at Lady Line Cook, and then the website's ladylinecook.com. So from there, you can find the book and the merch all from ladylinecook.com. And then, so this isn't me, I'm just an admin, but if there are any women chefs listening who want to be part of the Facebook group, that's just Lady Line Cooks.
Okay.
That's on Facebook. I'm just one of the admins, so I don't like run that page. It's just like a group.
Yeah.
So there'd be that. And then I'm also on Twitter, but I don't do much there, but if you want to look me up, I'm at The Lady Line Cook. And that's pretty much it. You can also find me on like Goodreads under Hanley Souza, or if you search my book or the book's ISBN. And then I'm on like Amazon. Yeah, those would be the main places. You can find the book like really anywhere books are sold, but the best place to get it would be ladylinecook.com.
Awesome. Great. So, you know, I like to end all of my interviews the same. So now, you know, you've been on the show. I like to call my audience the Line Cook Nation, a group of chefs, cooks, people in the food industry who just want to learn and connect more with each other. Now that you've been on the show, you've got to speak to this audience. What does that mean for you to be able to speak to them?
Man, it's definitely, I feel like we're in this together. It's not even like industry experts and like everyone else down here. It's like, no, we're all just trying to figure this out together. Like we're all learning from each other. Like, and that's how I feel as a leader in the kitchen too. It's like, just because I'm the sous chef and you're the brand new guy who just got hired as a dishwasher doesn't mean I can't learn something from you. Like I'm always trying to learn from like everyone, no matter what level they're at, like always trying to get ideas, like always trying to include everyone. And like, so even though you're a leader, you're really just like you're leading, but you're also just like facilitating. You're also just gaining value from like everyone instead of pretending to be like this industry expert. 'Cause I'm definitely not like, yeah. I'm definitely just someone with a meme page who makes goofy videos, but I'm definitely not an expert in anything, but I'm glad to learn from everyone, from followers, from, you know, just people who have been through it or want to go through the industry or stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, though, are a voice for many people. And so, you know, I think that's important. And yeah, just, you know, don't just make sure you realize that, because, you know, a lot of people relate to your content and obviously it helps them. So that's good. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And yeah, we'll chat soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So there you have it, the interview with Hanley Souza. Thank you all so much for listening to another show. Please go check her out at Lady Line Cook on Instagram or ladylinecook.com to check out her book and all the other work she's done. If you're listening on Apple, please leave a review. It helps me get traction and it helps me, you know what you all want from episodes. Finally, if you are interested, we're running 40 miles to help raise funds and awareness for World Central Kitchen next month. So if you're interested in that, please DM me on Instagram or email me at linecookthoughts@outlook.com. Thank you all so much for listening to another week's episode, and I'll see you next week on the Line Cook Thoughts podcast.